And as I've shared, Hebrews is about Jesus. It's about His priesthood, lifting Him up, that He has a better priesthood, a better testament, a better ministry than the Old Testament priesthood. And tonight is kind of the middle of that teaching, because the whole chapter is about a person named Melchizedek and how Jesus Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, not after the Aaronic priesthood, which is in the Old Testament, but of a different priesthood, which we will understand better tonight. So what we're going to do is walk through chapter 7. It's more of a teaching than a preaching time. Understand who Melchizedek is. And then in the next couple of weeks, we'll look at some of the key passages in chapter 7 in a different light. But tonight, we're just going to focus on the whole chapter. I'm not going to read the whole thing. We'll just get started on the first three verses, pray, and then walk through it and learn. So starting in verse 1, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." So, Melchizedek, let's pray. Give us your wisdom, Lord, as we open your word together. Teach us, and I pray you'd work miracles in our lives, Lord, and just grow our love for Jesus, that we might serve him more faithfully, more effectively, and Lord, even have opportunity to be a blessing to others as we learn your word better. So guide us tonight, meet with us, we love you, and pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So before we dive into the chapter, let's get some background material from the book of Genesis. So let's turn back to Genesis chapter 14, and we'll see where Melchizedek came on the scene. Just the one time in Genesis. And it happened when Abraham had gone to rescue those that had been kidnapped in his family. And as he was returning from rescuing them, this person met him. Here in Genesis 14, verse 17. "And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of the Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all." So four verses in the Old Testament, and that is it. That's all we hear about Melchizedek until we get to the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. And we're told, as we see there in this first part of the passage, that Jesus Christ is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And so let's understand who this person is. Now it is spelled a little bit different. That's just the difference between the Hebrew and the Greek. But notice it says in verse 1, "King of Salem, priest of the Most High God." Now later on we're told what Salem means. It means peace. Jerusalem is supposed to be the city of peace. It's been anything but for 3,500 years, but God's not finished. Amen? As we've been seeing in Isaiah and Jeremiah, one day it will again be the city of peace. It will be the place where Jesus Christ will rule and reign from in the throne of David. But this person, this Melchizedek, who came and blessed Abraham and received tithes of Abraham, the Bible says that he was the king of Salem, the king of the place that would eventually be Jerusalem. It wasn't Jerusalem yet, but it would have been the same place. If you go to Psalm 76, the Bible shows us this connection between Jerusalem and Salem. So Psalm 76 and verses 1 and 2. Notice what the Bible says. "In Judah is God known, his name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion." So here we have God referring to it as Salem instead of Jerusalem, but it is the same place. And what we find is that Melchizedek is the king of Salem. So that's our first clue. Go to Zechariah 14 while you're in the Old Testament. In verse 16, Zechariah 14, 16. And we'll see what's going to happen in the future. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This is talking about the kingdom, which is yet in the future. The Bible says that Jerusalem will be the center of worship, and every nation will come to Jerusalem year by year to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in person, in the flesh. And notice it's who they will be worshiping, the King, the Lord of hosts. So again, showing us that the Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah. But this King of Salem, Melchizedek, wasn't just a king, but he was also a priest. Now, how can the same person be a king and a priest? We don't find that in the Old Testament. It's the first time, actually, and the only time where we find the same person is both a king and a priest at the same time. Now, if you go to Revelation 17, we will find out that there is only one other person in the Bible who is both a king and a priest. And we all already know who that is. It is our Savior. Notice Revelation 17, 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of kings, but He is also, as we've been seeing in these first few chapters in Hebrews, He is also a priest. He's the one interceding for us in heaven right now, and will be until the church age is over. And so there's only one person in the Bible that's a king and a priest, and that's Jesus. So that's the first clue that Melchizedek may have been an Old Testament theophany. That's a fancy word which means Jesus appearing as a man in the Old Testament. There are a couple of those times. It looks like he was also the captain of the Lord's host that met Joshua, because Joshua was told that it was holy ground. But it looks like Melchizedek was Jesus. And so that makes him a priest after the order of himself, which fits. Who else could he be a priest after the order of but God? He couldn't be after a man's priesthood. But anyway, that's only clue number one, is that Melchizedek is a king and a priest, the king of Jerusalem. There's only, and we know that Jesus Christ will be the king of Jerusalem during the kingdom, and he is a priest of the Most High God. Verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by an interpretation king of righteousness, after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. So we'll talk more about this next week, but Abraham tithed to Melchizedek. Now, in the Old Testament program, the tithe was supposed to be taken to the tabernacle and given to the Aaronic priests. That is how they lived, because they didn't get an inheritance when they went into the promised land. They lived off the tithes. Now, they gave a tithe of the tithe so that they could also have an opportunity to give. But their 90% that was left over, that's what they lived on. That's how they ate. It's very similar to how the New Testament is supposed to work, where the local church takes care of its pastor. Very similar. But here we have Abraham, the beginning of the Jews, the founder of the Jews through God, tithing to Melchizedek rather than to the Aaronic priesthood. Isn't that very interesting? And the person that he tithed to isn't only a king and a priest, but he is the king of righteousness. How could a man be the king of righteousness? How's that even possible? We already know that the Lord Jesus Christ is righteous. We're told that the government shall be upon his shoulder, right, in Isaiah 9:6. And it says, and of his government there shall be no end. and that it will be a government of righteousness. If you go to Jeremiah 23:6, we are told that one of his names is Jehovah, our righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6. Now this is talking again about in the future, in the kingdom. But notice it says, in his days Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Remember when you see Lord in all caps? You know that the Hebrew word behind that word is the word Jehovah. And so the Lord our righteousness is one of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now we see that he is a king of righteousness. He is the king of peace, king of Salem. And doesn't the Bible tell us that he is the prince of peace in Isaiah 9:6? And he is the... So he's the king of Salem, the king of righteousness, and he's a priest. Moving on, verse 3. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. So I think we're sealing it up, aren't we? There is no man that has no father, has no mother, has no beginning, and has no end. All of us have a beginning. Even the angels had a beginning. Even Satan had a beginning. But Jesus never did, because Jesus is God. He's always been. And sure enough, the Bible tells us, Psalm 90, verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Only God has no beginning and no end. Every other part of God's creation was created, so it had a beginning. So this Melchizedek had no beginning. So there's no question who it had to be. Let's go to Micah 5, and again, we'll see a prophecy about Jesus. But it also will give us another clue about this Melchizedek who had no beginning of days, as it says here in Hebrews 7:3. Notice Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. That's Jesus. Jesus is the only one that has no beginning, because Jesus is God. So Melchizedek is the king of Salem. He is the king of righteousness. He is the priest of the Most High God. And he has no earthly parents, no beginning, and no end. Now notice what he says in verse 4. Consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils, which was the tithe that we read about earlier. Look down to verse 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? So it's even telling us in the chapter that the Melchizedek priesthood, or the priesthood that Jesus is part of, is better than the Aaronic priesthood. And later we're going to see a lot of usage of the word better in the book of Hebrews. But notice it says in verse 14, it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Jesus is not, in the earthly sense, through Mary, a descendant of Aaron. He is a descendant of Judah, which means that he wouldn't even be, in an earthly sense, qualified to be part of the Aaronic priesthood, because only descendants of Aaron could be part of that high priesthood. But he is a descendant of Judah. And what are we told about which tribe the king comes from but Judah? The king that will rule and reign over the world. So it tells us in verse 17, he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's quoting Psalm 110.